You're listening to The Ground Floor on the Jefferson Exchange, where we talk with entrepreneurs from startup stage through stable and growing businesses. I'm your host, Cynthia Scher, and my guest today is Jarek Murray, CEO of the startup Annam Housing in Medford. Annam Housing brings together people who need housing with a variety of housing sources and provides an end-to-end solution for employers who want to help their employees find suitable housing. Welcome, Jarek.
Hello. Glad to be here.
So I hope I described your business correctly in the intro. Is that pretty close?
Yeah. You nailed it. Yeah, we provide housing benefits, community-based housing benefits, allowing people to save money when buying homes, renting homes, and on home goods and services.
Great. So tell us, we all are aware of the housing crisis in Southern Oregon and many parts of the United States, but
Sure. What
gave you the idea to start Annam Housing?
Yeah, it was a combination of my personal and professional experience. Personally, grew up in, let's say, a housing insecure environment, bounced around all over the country, and ended up being sent to the Bay Area to live with my biological father when I was 16. And I didn't get any smarter, taller, funnier, but I had stable, housing. Mm-hmm. And that really just changed the trajectory of my life. So I jumped into housing and ultimately built a career around development, finance, and doing things in mortgage securities, et cetera. And that really led me to more or less address the challenge that is housing that we're all facing today.
So that was your interest in housing and your interest in providing a solution for employers. What sparked that interest?
Yeah, so I had the pleasure of working with another great company here in the Valley, Lithia. And while there, I was running their real estate department and saw that as amazing as they were struggling to attract and retain talent. And everyone knew it was because of housing. And as I began to speak around with my other contemporaries in other fields, I saw that pretty much all businesses were struggling to attract and retain talent due to housing. And given my background, I felt that I had a pretty unique insight to solve it. And it was less about building more housing, but actually creating a better matchmaking system around data, financial aid and other solutions.
So how do you start out with that project? Because you've got both physical assets, their houses, their apartments, and then there's people out there who are like, yeah, I'd love to come work for a company in the Rogue Valley, but where do I live that I can afford?
No. Great question. So the long and the short is once we set up in a market, a resident, an employee is able to download the app, fill out a housing profile, and then from that housing profile, we use our technology to match them up with a whole variety of solutions. So if you're renting, we have a product, prepaid rent, where you can save up to 15% on your rent, maybe even need a lease guarantee, we can provide that. If you're looking to buy a home, mortgage guarantees, even provide cash offers, amongst a whole variety of other things. The point is, from that housing profile, we're actually able to match you up with a breadth of solutions that are available in the market and some that we have directly off the shelf.
And what does that cost me as a renter or a prospective home buyer?
Yeah, so think of it like, buying something off Amazon or DoorDash. There's a small transaction fee. It tends to be around, 5 to 10% of the overall transaction. So assume a couple $100 as it compares to bringing, your own $4,000 for a security deposit, which is obviously much more expensive.
And so who provides the capital for like a down payment for rent or for, who helps underwrite the loan?
Totally. So it comes from a variety of sources. We're really simple from the top. Again, consumers can come to the app, get what they need. And we have a host of partners that we work with. And we also raise our own money. So we have limited partners that put, millions of dollars into our funds that we can manage. So the combination of working with community assets as well as our own dollars, we're able to create these solutions for the market.
And do people who invest in your company get a return based on loan terms or on company growth, or how does that work?
Yeah, sure. So, more details to jump into there. But many of the places or individuals that we raise capital from, they're actually, mission oriented. So they're trying to have a community impact. So they measure return very differently from, a Wall Street bank, let's say. Us being able to lend out the money, which maybe they're already trying to do, but they're struggling to really target certain groups, we support them in that, allowing them to get data back on, helping that individual, be it single mothers or, people fresh out of college, et cetera. We can find those people, help those people, and then report back to them.
So it's people who help provide the funding are either organizations with a social mission or people who have patient capital.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Interesting.
All the money is cheaper. Yeah, I could jump into a whole thing about that. But if we kind of keep doing what we've been doing, we'll keep getting what we've been getting.
And so are you tied to geography? Like when you say when you open a market area? And if so, like what markets are you in right now? Like who can you help right now?
Yeah, so we actually just finished a pilot here in Southern Oregon. We finished that in July. And now we're preparing to go live probably Q1 of 2026, but we're having a more or less kickoff meeting with our partner, So Ready, on October 29th. More details, you can go to our website to find out about that, but we'll have this as our kind of benchmark market, as well as we have opportunities in New York City, for instance, Irvine, California, Jackson Hole, and Aspen, Colorado that we have on the books.
Interesting. All areas where the price of housing is one of the highest in the United States and as well as cost of living.
Totally.
Cost of living may be lower than the price of housing, but...
Yeah. That's one thing you realize pretty quickly is that the problem's everywhere because affordability is relative, right? We talked about this before. It doesn't matter if you have $1 million if everyone around you has $1 million. Manhattan, for instance, $1 million won't get you very far. So what we really do is work with partners to more or less level the market and make sure that the everyday working class has an opportunity.
You're listening to The Ground Floor on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Cynthia Scherr, and my guest today is Jarek Murray, CEO of Annam Housing in Medford. You mentioned looking up your website, so I'm just going to spell Annam Housing for people.
Please.
It's A-N-N-U-M housing.com, and it's based in Medford. So when we talked before the interview, you described the company to me as, quote, being an automated workflow and data company that leverages fintech.
Yeah.
That's a lot of really specific techie terms. Can
totally.
You just translate that for us?
Yeah. So starting, I guess, at the 50,000 foot view, housing is, a multidisciplinary problem. You have finance, you have legal, obviously, you have other disciplines, construction, et cetera. You know, and what we really realized is in all of these disciplines, there's workflows. There's a process to build a home. There's a process to issue a loan, et cetera. If we could automate that, we could actually reduce the cost significantly for members and then pass those savings on to our members. So that's taking away all the sales tech language. We're basically using technology to automate this process that otherwise people would always be involved in, which reduces the cost. And then we're able to pass those savings on to our members.
So if I'm in, if I'm thinking about moving to Medford and I don't know kind of where to start, maybe I have a partner, maybe I have a couple of kids, how would I connect with Annam and how would I get you to help me?
Totally. So the best place is, come Q1 of 2026, ask your employer. That's the best way to get engaged with us. But from there, having that information that you just detailed in that housing profile will actually allow us to match you up with a variety of solutions. And we do leverage AI. And because of that, we're able to train that model on your needs and ultimately get better and better at providing solutions to help you throughout the life cycle of housing. As we know, you may move to Medford and have one need, and then, you have another kid, or something else has changed within your life. Housing may now be inadequate, or at least your current housing. We're going to understand that and support you along that path to get you to where you can be settled and, be able to afford the quality of life you want.
And is there an income limit or, X percent of the poverty line or for your services?
No, not at all. Like, great question again. We have intended it to work with everyone. In working with everyone, we can understand different segments of the population and, partner with other, market-based institutions that may have needs. Rogue Retreats, for instance, I sit on their board. They're targeting a very low income basis. We can work with employers that may have an employee type that fits that, and then we can direct them and connect their solutions with them very easily in a lunch break as opposed to finding out some other way.
And would I normally, as an employee moving here, would I normally find out about you through my HR department, or do you have other ways of reaching people who are either new arrivals or, like you said, their needs change and they want to look for a new housing option? How would they find you?
Yeah. So right now, we are early stage. There are bunch of different ways that we foresee being able to engage with people, but largely right now through employers and working with municipalities, economic development agencies like So Ready, we're able to deploy that message broadly through the employer constituents. So website, employer, probably mm-hmm. the best ways.
So what have you seen, you know, as a, you know, you've both worked here as an executive and you've also worked here as now you're doing a startup. What do you see as like the advantages or maybe even disadvantages of starting a company in Southern Oregon?
Yeah. So what I would say is the advantages are quality of life, pace of life. If I was working back in Washington, D.C. previously, there's just so much noise going on that it's very easy to be told what the market is and what the challenges are. Being here, I was able to kind of observe some of those top tier, quote unquote, markets and come away with my own conclusions. So I love the quality of life here. I love the having an actual community. Maybe a slightly different topic, but social media can make you feel like you have a community without having the real support necessary for having a community. So that's huge. As far as disadvantages, maybe, you know, before I was here, there were some around being able to interact with different markets. But with connectivity today, collaboration software, it's very easy to have a distributed team and be still very effective. So I don't see many drawbacks from being here, actually.
And is most of your team remote?
Yes, all of my team is remote. Mm-hmm. You know, Portland, Austin, New York City, Seattle.
Yeah, well, you're trying to get them to Medford?
Yeah, we'll see. I know that they are all struggling with the housing issue themselves, and
right.
They're very interested in coming out here for company retreats and things like that. So if I can do it, I definitely will.
Great. And how big is your team right now?
Five people.
Five people.
Yeah,
wow.
Five. And then we have some, obviously, contractors and some part-timers around the peripheral.
And are you self-funded or are you venture-backed?
So right now, I mean, we have angels. Mm-hmm. We had angels, and we've been able to get really far with that. And we're in conversations with several kind of middle-tier venture groups that we're excited to engage with. But we've been very industrious, let's say. And we're at a point now where we're excited to generate some pretty, you know, meaningful income over the next 6 months. So we'll see what happens, but we're leaving all doors open for sure.
So when you launch in Q1, are you thinking of launching in more than one market, or did you say you were piloting first Southern Oregon and then rolling it out?
Totally. So we plan on launching, you know, going live here in Q1, in here, meaning the Rogue Valley. And then subsequent from that, we have other markets that we'll be launching, be it in Colorado, Wyoming, New York, over that year. So we've stopped a lot of our BDR efforts and, you know, so business development research efforts because of some of that growth and word of mouth we've been experiencing.
Is there an advantage or a disadvantage to you in being in a very expensive market or in one that is generally has more moderate housing costs?
Yeah. So, you know, what we've realized is that, again, housing and the challenge is really an affordability crisis. And because it's relative, you know, our job is to, you know, focus on that member or the resident. There's a lot of solutions today that are focusing on the bricks and sticks, you know, making those items cheaper. But ultimately, it's about where that person is in the housing life cycle. So we aim to understand what the member's needs are, and then we can align the market to that as opposed to kind of sitting back and saying, hey, you know, pricing is too expensive, which is generally yes, but it's relative. You know, mm-hmm. that might not be expensive to the person that you're trying to engage with, or it might be even your solution is still far too expensive for them. I don't know how many times we've spoken with groups or individuals that, you know, they struggled to get into the affordably priced housing. You know, it wasn't affordable for them. So what do they do? Right. And we provide a bunch of, you know, again, financial aid, classes, education to support them on that path.
It sounds like you've iterated this business model quite a bit over the last few years. How long have you been at it?
Oh, man, you're trying to make me feel pain right now.
No, I'm not. No, just curious.
Yeah. So I went full time towards the end of 2022, early 2023. So it's been, a little bit over 2 years. And that's one of the big things. You know, you have to be in love with the problem. The solution that you assume isn't necessarily the solution that the market will accept. And you have to be, again, passionate about the problem, but really agnostic about how to address it. And that was probably the most powerful thing that we've done.
Wow, that is great nutshell advice for any entrepreneur. Yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for being my guest today. Really appreciate it. You've been listening to The Ground Floor on the Jefferson Exchange. My name is Cynthia Scher, and you can find this and other episodes at jeffexchange.org and on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.